8:04, RSN Breakfast. Michael Christian, Mick McGon with you right through until 8:30. Our next guest is the coach of Collingwood, Nathan Buckley. G'day, Bucks.
G'day, Chris.
How's the hammy first, mate?
It's on the mend. It's far from ideal, but the fact that it was between tendon and bone, mate, there's not a lot of nerve endings there, so the pain's pretty good. It's just frustrating that you can't get around as well.
Is that the same injury you did in the latter part of your career? And remember, I think it might have been out of Box Hill when you played that infamous VFL game for Williamstown. Was it the same leg?
Trying to work out what was infamous about it.
Well, it was only when you ever played.
No, I played two. I played another one coming back in Port Melbourne. Two of the more memorable and enjoyable experiences of my life, to be honest, mate, because they preceded periods where I didn't know whether I'd ever play again. So followed periods. But I reckon, this one's different. It's not behind the knee. It's right under my left arse cheek, and it took the whole of the hammy off. So you can improve and do things better. Mate, you can always do better, and I did better.
Yeah, you did indeed. All right, mate, let's talk some footy. First question, how have you assessed Collingwood's season to date?
Look, I think we've done reasonably well. We've played some good football, but you can only ever compare yourself against who you've played against and against, your own self-evaluation, I suppose. We've played some footy that we've been happy with, but we've always thought that this year would be a year of growth, a year of exploration, and finding out about what our best is, our best personnel, our best footy, and how that is going to look like against different opponents. Very rarely in a year does the standard of football drop. Sometimes you'll get years where, the standard of footy at the beginning of the year doesn't quite, is exceptional, and the second half sort of comes off a little bit, but usually the game improves, and we know that we need to do that if we're at least going to maintain our standard of now, but we want to be better than that again.
Because the next few weeks is a massive test, isn't it? And I just wondered whether you feel like you're prepared for the next month or so. GWS this week, then the bye, but then you've got Fremantle, Hawthorn, Port Adelaide and West Coast. So a month of playing the elite teams. Do you feel like that you're ready to take on that challenge?
Well, I mean, you're only ever ready for what you're ready for. I mean, we haven't sort of sat back and circled that part of our fixture any more than any other part. I mean, we've really focused on staying in the moment in many ways, not only in contests where you can't get caught up in your last 5 minutes or your next five, but throughout the season. I mean, we're really just making sure that we're putting our best foot forward as often as we can. Like, our personnel opportunities will shift between now and potentially between now and Sunday, let alone between now and Fremantle or now and Port and Hawthorn. So there's plenty of things that are thrown at you that you can't plan for. But I think for the most part, I feel like we're ready to attack whatever's thrown in front of us.
Bucks, good morning. Hope you're well.
Yeah,
I love the way you're moulding the team first and foremost. Just a couple of things I want to talk about. A couple of scoring sources that are a bit of concern in the last fortnight. Your kick-ins and your stoppages. First and foremost, want to talk about your kick-in structures. Defending Norths was an issue. What broke down?
Yeah, look, we actually gave up five goals from our D50. So we went through the first month and only gave up 12 shots on goal. And the five rounds after the North game, we gave up 22. So, I mean, we went from averaging, just slightly more than two a game to averaging over four. So that was our ability to slow the opposition down isn't an issue, but our ability to finish the job off and to turn it over in our front half for a month there leading up to the completion of the North game was not at the standard that we expect. We've spent a fair bit of time on that in the last couple of weeks. We coming up against GWS this week. We don't expect them to go slow very often. They're a fast rebounding side. So kick-ins or kick-in defence is part of that, mate. Not the only thing. You know, we want to defend. You know, when we've got a forward 50 stoppage, we don't expect to get scored against going the other way, like at the other end of the field. And when we don't complete going inside 50, we want to make sure we hold it in there. So there's three sources that you need to look after.
Yeah.
And a kick-in zone is just one of them. And I think it replicates really closely what a slow play defence looks like anyway, and that's been improvement for us. So we thought we did that better against Melbourne, still not as flush as we can, but we've worked hard on that over the last couple of weeks. We expect that to come through in our footy.
And what about the focus on your own? I suppose the question I've got is, what at a minimum is seen as a positive result? That's the first part of it.
Yeah.
And I think we all know the max result is there for everyone to see, and that's to score goals. But to get scored against is not good. What needs to improve in that balance of your game?
Yeah, well, the stat, we allowed five goals from our forward line all the way through, and we also had two goals kicked against us from our own kick-ins against North. You know, it's actually been an area, although it's been criticised, it's actually been an area that we've done pretty well at our kick-outs, and since Tyson Goldstick's gone back, we've actually been able to get into the front half of the field off from our kickouts pretty effectively, and we're top four in the league for getting midfield possession, five or six rounds in. I haven't looked at it specifically over the last couple of weeks, but other than that, North Melbourne was disappointing. We didn't score from our kickouts last week, but we were able to score three going back the other way from Melbourne's, which we're encouraged by. Goldie's a weapon. It's probably a weapon that we haven't had there consistently for two or three years. So we're still working out how we can maximise that. We do a fair bit of kicking structure work at training. And we've got about three or four different kick-ins that we go to, depending on what the opponent is throwing at us. Having said that, mate, the best laid plans often go awry, and we've got quite a young group, but we need to get better at executing our plans more consistently, and the kickouts and zones are part of that.
Yeah, and the extension of that question then is the stoppage goals that Melbourne created last week. I suppose the question I've got initially, was it a breakdown of structure at the stoppage from the midfield group that went wrong, hence you're putting that seventh defender behind the ball for support, or was it simply the boys were out-competed, out-hunted?
Well, Vince and James were exceptional. We've got to give them credit for that. Now, they were two of the more dominant midfield performances we've faced this year against any opponent. So, you know, I think we've got to give them credit for their work rate and their energy. They were able to, James in the second quarter and Vince in the third, they lit up and we weren't able to close them down. The facts of the nine goals two that we gave up from stoppage, six of them we had our hands on. We had first hands, but we were unable to clear the ball. So either an ineffective quick kick or, for instance, that one of the Garlic goals over the top, Fasolo won the clearance, handballed back to Langdon, but it hadn't cleared the area. So technically it's not a turnover. It's still a clearance goal. But Langdon, rather than choosing the right option, which would have been a handball to a teammate who was in space and Oxley, who could have had a shot from 40, tried to kick through about three Melbourne players coming towards him, goes back to Brayshaw, and he kicked that one over the top, and that was the one that Garlett ran all the way into the goal square. So, I mean, that's how quickly it can happen. We thought Melbourne played some pretty good footy, but we didn't look after the ball well enough in clearance. And as I said, nine of those goals, four of the ones from centre bounce, we had our hands on it, but didn't look after the ball well enough in tight. So you've got to give credit to Melbourne for their pressure, but we've got to be better inside to be able to deal with that.
Bucks, I want to ask you about your ruckman. Brodie Grundy has played some wonderful football this season, but to the way I've seen, it's been when he's been one out. What's your best setup there with Jared Witts and Brodie Grundy? How can you manage them in the same team, or are they better playing off in an individual role and giving one the bulk of the responsibility?
Well, it's better for the team if they both play, and I think each of them, their pride and their willingness to compete and for responsibility, at this stage of their mentality, I think both of them is that they would prefer to be the number one ruckman. So we're working through that, and they're young men working out where they fit and what the team is asking of them. So the challenge is, I think there's no doubt that Brody he grows a leg when he knows he's the man. And I think which is not dissimilar. We saw in his performances through 2014 that he was exceptional. So what these young men need to realise, and we're in the process of working out, is that they're no less important to us if they're rucking for 40 or 50% of the game time and playing a forward role for the rest of that time. I mean, they won't play more than 80 out of 85% game time, so we might be asking for 50% ruck, 35% forward and 15% off. And we're looking to develop them in both of those roles. Now, their primary role is the ruck role, we understand, but they need to be effective as forwards. We need two big blokes. I think we need two big blokes to be able to play those roles, and it's not necessarily going to be just Brody and Witchy. Jesse White is clearly in that mix. Corey Galt is in that mix. You know, Clokey, unplanned in many ways, but has found himself and has sort of felt the want to go up and get involved in some ruck contests in the last couple of weeks, and that's been encouraging, but we would never be relying on him as a second ruck option at this stage. But never say never.
Bucks, here's your chance. We've got the new Laws of the Game Committee members sitting opposite me here. The new umpire interpretation for head highs. How are they looking? Do you like it? Should they have been brought in during the season? Because my personal view, it's going to add an extra layer of complexity to what is already difficult to adjudicate.
Well, I'll say the controversial thing first, Mick. I've been on the Laws of the Game. He's got no teeth. he's got no impact at all. I don't agree with mid-season rule changes. I don't agree with constant rule changes. When I was on the committee, I advocated 3-year moratoriums on rule changes. Let the game settle. I understand health and safety as a priority for players, but not all of the rule changes are about that. I think there's too much conversation and focus on rule changes. It's not a part of the game that we need to be speculating on too consistently. I think the umpire's job is becoming increasingly harder to do and to adjudicate. And when you're not actually talking about a rule change, we're talking about an interpretation change. So there's plenty of different layers that we can come at. You know, some of those interpretation changes happen because we get an email and we say, look, well, this has popped up in the last couple of weeks and we're looking at this rule a little bit more closely. Other times it'll be a rule change itself, or when it's a little bit more public like this, clearly the AFL and the umpiring department felt they needed to go public with an interpretation change as such, which I thought was adjudicated quite well on the weekend for all of my reticence to change. I thought that it actually was umpired well. We didn't see any, I don't think we saw any free kicks paid against, but we definitely saw some ball ups come from situations that might have been free kicks prior to that.
Well said. While on the theme of complexity, Lachie Keith and Josh Thomas, first and foremost, any dialogue with them? How are they? And any news of a hearing date?
Yeah, I haven't actually spoken to the boys for a couple of weeks. You know, the club is in constant contact through Neil Baum and Gary Pert in particular, and Christian Stagliano, our player development manager, who is charged as our first port of call for the welfare of the boys to see how they're travelling away from all of the detail. But no, I haven't spoken to them for a couple of weeks. When I last spoke to each of the guys and caught up for a coffee face to face, they were each doing pretty well for the situation that they find themselves in. I think they're quite practical young men. They understand, I think they understand more now some of the possibilities out of what's happening and in many ways the rigour that's around performance enhancing substances, and the fact that, you know, how it gets in your body is really of no consequence once it's there. The penalties are going to be applied in some shape or form. So I think they're still in the process of working out what that looks like with a starter. Apart from that, the club's a little bit at arm's length, but we're in constant contact with the boys, mainly looking after their welfare and wellbeing, but constantly in dialogue about what their future may look like at Collingwood, depending on how the case itself is handled in the next couple of steps.
Last question, Bucks. Ben Reid, will he play against GWS?
No, he won't. Reid's played 6 quarters of footy back this time. He's looking, and that's the best 6 quarters of footy I've seen from him for a long time. He even when he came back a couple of times early in the year, you just see he's reticent, just not quite opening himself up. And you know, quite frankly, he could have played 6 weeks of footy at that standard, and he wouldn't have demanded an AFL recall. So there's a couple of things that need to happen. Reedy needs to get up and about, and he needs to prove that he's physically capable of getting through, you know, chunks of footy. Because the standard of AFL is clearly a couple of rungs down from what he's going to face at AFL. But the other thing is his form. We're all hoping to get the 2011 All-Australian defender back. He's missed a lot of footy. The game's changed a little bit. So there's a considerable challenge there for Reedy to find his best footy and to force his way back into a 22 that we hope is going to be hard to get spots in when he's up and ready to go.
Good luck on Sunday, mate. Thanks for having a chat with us.
All good. Thanks, Jeff.
See you, Buck.
Nathan Buckley, the coach of Collingwood. Coming up, the captain of St Kilda, Nick Riewoldt, 20 past 8.